Roy Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to About the House. This is your audio-visual university on everything you could ever possibly want to know about your house. We've been doing this now, this show, for several years, and we've had a lot of people really greatly enjoying it. And this is happens to be May that we're doing recording this one. But of course, it's great for all year round, and it is Deck Awareness Month. Hey, let me tell you a little bit about the house. As you know, that this is an audio university. What I really like about it is that sometimes I just miss something, and I could just rewind it, come back, pick it up. And so this is a fabulous show, nothing but education. We love to share it with you. And my name is Troy Galloway. I'm the owner of Galloway Building Services. We are a construction inspection company, or building inspection company. We do home and building inspections. You know, so if you're buying or selling your home, we do a lot of big commercial projects, inspections. We do, which is we're one of the few in the country that actually do construction inspections. We're also registered as a construction expert witness for litigation work. So if you have a little bit of trouble, I work for both contractors and I also work for homeowners or property owners. And so if you're a property owner and you think your contractor is doing you a horrible job, you give us a call, we come in, and if we can help you, and if it's true, we'll help you and get you squared away, get you on the right path, and usually always get it settled pretty quickly. And if I can't help you, then it doesn't cost you any money. I don't charge for if I can't help. We also do a lot of work for our contractors. You know, a lot of us in the contracting business, as I've been in for almost 46 years. Time's flying. Sometimes we get a customer that, you know, maybe they don't want to pay. Maybe they just misunderstand. Maybe they got a nosy neighbor that knows everything about what they're talking about, except for what they're talking about, telling you that your job is done wrong and how they could have done better. Or even worse, another contractor coming over making fun of your work. Well, we get hired all the time to come in there and help with that. We got several big projects we're in the middle of helping right now for people. So either one, we're here for you. And if you ever need us, please give us a call, Galloway Building Services. Our phone number is 314-520-6655. Now, let's get on with the show, Deck Awareness Month. Now, what I've done here is I've compiled some pictures. We're going to just go through them. I'm going to talk a little bit about them. I broke it down into the different sections of the building, of the deck itself. And what my goal here is to help you folks, when you do see these things, that you know whether your deck is needing repaired or if it's needing replaced. Or maybe you're buying a house or something, and you want to do a little bit, say, inspections before you actually hire a building inspector to look at it and get more detailed. This will give you some great principles to look at, and I've also got some good silly stuff in here I want to share. So let's get on with it. And this is with the show here, Deck Inspection Concerns. And so let's move right on to the next one here. Support post. Of course, we all know what the support posts are on our deck, and it's very important that I start with this here because naturally everything goes up, and if your support system is not good, then nothing else is good. So that's why this is very, very important. So let's look at our support post here. Like I said, we got some silly ones here, and you're going to love this one. Look at this right here. So we got my post, and it's sitting on this pier. Now, It's a 4x4 post. It's a and the pier is not much bigger, and they literally half missed the post, or the pier. And so when you see this, it looks bad. It really does. But honestly, you know, in this particular case, it's enough pier that your deck's not going to fall as long as it's attached the post to the concrete pier. Here's my concrete pier and my post. You can't see the attachment, but you want these two attached together so as it holds. So it's not like the end of the world, but it definitely, if you hired somebody and they did this, I'd be having them redo it. That's what plumb bobs are for. We'll talk more about plumb bobs. And now, here is one that I'd like to share with you because this has got a sheathing going around the post. And it literally is deteriorated. You know, you can see some deterioration. Well, some of this deterioration actually is being caused, well, for a multitude of things, but some of this here is coming from the chemicals and the nitrogen and such that they've been using on the grass. And it literally has taken it and made it so as it started deteriorating. Now, that's just on the casing of it. It's not on the post itself yet. We'll talk more about, you see, it's not sitting on any kind, you can't see any peering or anything, but we'll move into the next one here. We'll talk more about that as we go along. But that's just something that happens, you know, if your posts are too close to the ground and you got like aluminum sheathing or vinyl sheathing, the same thing. And so they want to make sure that's taken care of. Oh, now we're looking up underneath the deck part of it. And what I wanted to share with you, these posts right in through here. And these posts, now this one here has got the most exposed concrete. Code normally goes in the Midwest, so I want to make sure it's clear because I know a lot of you folks are all over the country looking at this and you're going to, so give me feedback. Wherever you're at, whatever your codes are, hey, please post it on the remarks ends of this because that helps other people learn also. But in our area in the Midwest, you want your piers, this concrete right here, to be 6 to 8 inches above grade, above the ground, because of snow. We want to make sure, and you're going to see kind of what happens if you don't keep it up and above the ground, but snow starts deteriorating and causes trouble. Now, if you're like in the southern states, you might not be so much worried about the snow so much, but maybe river flooding or whatever, flash flooding, whatever zone you're in, but you want to make sure we just don't leave them on the ground. That used to be common, but, you know, we don't want to do that. We have found out the hard way this is not good. So we'll make sure we take care of that. Now, let's move on down here. Let's look some more here, see what we got. So here you go. Perfect example. See, now they put this post down here, this like a base to it. And what has happened here, which is a good idea, they temporarily did this, and it was a good idea, but what they did is the moisture had already started getting up inside of my post. And what they did is they cut that post off where they could slide this 2x up underneath it. And you could tell the difference because of this 2x material that's going around it. You can see it's a different, it's texture. You can also see that they tried to paint it. They tried to blend it together. Great idea. But the deterioration had already occurred. But trouble is, wood on wood, you know, is not going, you know, it still wicks. And so you still got some moisture issues that are happening. But you really don't want to put wood on wood. You know, there's other types of systems out there, metal systems that you get some, really what you want, folks. You want to have something that's not going to wick up through it. And you want to make sure that you have something that lets air underneath it. So this, see how this rotted? If they would have had something to let that dry, that probably could have stopped that problem from happening. So this is what you're looking for, and you'll see why later. Oh, some of these are just hilarious what you're going to see. Oh, here you go. Here's one right down in here. Now, what they've done here is they literally have been banked around it gravel, which looks nice. It's, you know, under a deck. It's really quite common. But you can see my metal post anchor right here starting to deteriorate naturally because it's holding moisture. They got the weed barrier around it. But, you know, it's not near as bad as some of them out there. But what happens is this right here, eventually, if it starts to deteriorate, oh, you're going to get a kick out of this one. We call this the thumb test. No kidding. I just made that up. We don't have it. But you actually, if you could stick your finger in there like this, I got a videos on this too, so you got to go check some of the videos out. But yeah, look how deep. And honestly, in this particular one, I could have stuck my whole hand up underneath there, but I was afraid that if I continued to stick my hand and fingers up underneath there, I was going to just totally wipe out the bottom of the post. So this is what happens when they get deteriorated to the point of no return. And what they've done, you can see they've actually tried to put a paint or a coating around that. Folks, if you're buying a house and you see that they got this kind of a coating. We're going to talk about this on some of the other slides, too, on the other components. But that's usually when they paint something, that's when you're doing your inspections, this is where you double check. This is where you go deeper. Because people don't actually ever do anything extra just for the fun of it. They never, and normally what they're trying to do is hide it because there's all kinds of other kinds of sealant out there. And so when you see this, and that was a dead giveaway right there. So I started snooping a little bit harder on that one. So you want to make sure that, make sure it passes the thumb test, the finger test. Ain't that funny? That's just crazy. Ah, here you go. Now, here's one that has been sitting on the pier. See, my concrete pier looks good, good post, you know, my anchor is up above. But you can see now this particular anchor did not have a place for air to get up underneath it. And it so when snow got up and set around it, now you've got other better pictures of some of the other ones that I got here, but it started deteriorating out our post. Now, naturally, you know, that's not holding much up when it's like that. But you're going to think about holding stuff up. You're going to get a kick out of some of this here. Let's get on down here to some of these others here. And, all right, so here you go. I love this one. So I think what they did with this post here, they stuck it in the hole. They watered it, thinking it's going to make the deck grow. I don't know, but it didn't work. It didn't get any taller, but look at that. What the heck, man? You know, they literally got sitting in water. Now, for one, it's not good, honestly. It's not good to stick your concrete. If they're going to fill that with concrete, some of the folks, you're going to give me some comments. And I know you're going to say, hey, Troy, it just rained before they had a chance to pour the concrete around it. Okay. But still, you don't want concrete around your post because it's that wicking. Concrete is porous. We talk about it on lots of our different programs and shows. And so it's still not fixing anything. But when I did the video on it, I teased about how they thought they was making it grow. But you're going to love this one because the next one's even better. Oh, it's hilarious. Okay. So right here, look at this one here. That didn't even grow deep enough to have roots to get inside of the post to the ground. That's just hanging up there. What? Okay. I'm just going to say, wow, that's all we can say about that. You just can't make some of this up. But, yep, that's just air underneath there. No water, no nothing, and just hanging right there. I think what they got in that bottle right there, it's probably not water, you think? Oh, anyway, that's just funny. Let's get on down here to the next one. Okay, so my next post here, my next one here. So this is actually on a, what they've done is they put this, it's sitting on this, no, it's beside the garage, and they got a deck up above this, and you don't see that. And they got this wing wall right here. And this is all really great, but what I'm showing here is, for number one, this wing wall, there is no piering underneath it. So it's just the this brick retaining wall, and it's sitting on my driveway, and it's probably sitting on, well, if it's a modern driveway, 6 to 8 inches thick concrete, that is not 30 to 32 inches, which is code for us up north for depth of piering. You want your piers to be 36, some parts of the country, 48 inches, and of course, the further south we get. And it also depends on the type of soil, but whatever your codes call for, that's what you want. No matter if it's sitting on this wing wall or not, that's not going to hold it. That's not strong. And what will happen, which I've seen this countless times, my brick will start cracking and it'll start falling and coming apart on you. So that's not a good thing to see have happen. So it's not, it may look pretty, but it's really not going to fix the problem here. So now what I'm showing here is this is my level. And I'm wanting, people ask me, how much can we be out of plumb? Plumb, what's that mean? That's where it's plumb, how plumb something is how absolute straight up and down it is. And in this case, this was a 4 foot level. And with my 4 foot level, you got approximately a quarter of an inch. Now think about this. If I'm 4 foot, I'm a quarter inch out, which is really in 4 foot, you know, as you can see, it's pretty minor. But if you take it up 8 foot, because my and that was because it's going to continue. Well, then now I got it a half inch. I take it up. If it's a big tall deck, it could be a 12 foot up off the ground, 16 foot. Well, as you could see, the higher it goes, the more it's out of plumb. So then it's no longer, it definitely has reached a place you know, when you reach up to this level of being out of plumb, that it's no longer safe. The reason you want something plumb is you want to direct your load from the top to the bottom, and a straight line down to it is what gives us our strength. When you teeter it off to the side, you get it out of plumb, then you're losing some of your structural integrity. And when you get too much, well, you know, naturally it's going to fall. And we see it all the time. So my next one right here. Now, this one's a good one right here, because what I'm trying to show you here is this right here. This is a neat idea. This is a metal post, and I see this quite a bit that people do. Really great idea. They got it setting in the concrete, and everything looks pretty good. And this is my electrical right here. What they've done is they've run this electrical box down, and they run wires down and through my post down and through here. And I guess they're going to put an outlet or something into it someday. But as it is right now, that is not a weather-tight box, and so any kind of moisture and stuff is getting inside of there. And you see the rust up underneath here? That's showing you water's getting inside of it. So that is a problem. Right now, it's not gotten to the place of being compromised, but it's definitely something. Okay, if you're going to have electrical out there, whether it be an outlet or a switch or anything, put it in a weather-tight box. That's very important. No matter what part of the country or the world you're in, you got to do that. So we move on down here. And this is on support posts, and this is really one of my favorite pictures. And actually, I shot this one at my office. And these doves, and see the whole family of doves, got the mama and the babies. I thought that. So at this time of the year, Duck Awareness Month, got to remember, we get our birds nesting in there, and they love to get up in these little spots like this. And you do whatever you want, but I can't kill them. I just have to put the project off until they leave. I know. My wife gets so mad at me. But how we normally like to see that is, if you don't want the beautiful birds to be nesting there, just put your little wire net around this or something. Yeah, a little fencing, a little wire, a little chicken wire or something, so they can't get into it. But if you're like me, I love to watch them. So, you know, it's Duck Awareness Month. It's also Bird Season Month. That's pretty much that for all our support posts. So we're going to move to the next segment here, which is support beams. Now, I didn't get a lot of great support beams pictures, but I got a few to kind of talk a little bit about it. And the support beams is usually, you know, it's not all buildings have support beams. And sometimes they're just the band boards, you know, which they're using for that. And they use the support band board. The outside band board is their support beam. Also for a cantilever, they'll use that, you know. And that's where a lot of where the cantilever is where it's the beam. And you'll see this shortly. And where the wood extends, the floor joist extends past it. And there's ways of properly doing it. And then once again, follow your codes no matter what anybody else says. And I know there's a lot of whiz-bangs out there calling themselves carpenters. A lot of them. They're going to tell you that codes, you know, that this is just fine. I hear it all the time. This is just fine. It's going to be just fine. No. If there's a code, you just check with your local municipal and find out what it is. That's what you follow. I don't care. Because codes have already been an engineered product, so the end result. So just follow that. That good advice. And don't listen to the whiz bang that tells you whatever's fine if it's not the code. So let's move on over here. And here it is. I'm going to show you what one of these whiz bangs do right here. Look at this. Look at it. See right here? So what he did is he got his post cut too short for the notch. Everything looks pretty good here. You got your bolt here. You got it notched out. These are sitting down, but because he didn't get it right, he had to put him a little bit of wooden shim in there. Now, that wooden shim is fine, I guess. It's kind of unsightly, kind of poor craftsmanship. Worst part is, if it's not secured in there, and this is not, it's just wedged in there, it's going to come out. And it's going to come out, and that bolt right here is not enough to carry that load. It's going to waller that hole out right through there, and it'll keep on sagging. And next thing you know, your beam right here will start to sag on you. It's just not a good idea. So Whizbang Construction. Oh, that's the name of I should call that company, Whizbang Construction. All right, we got some other names, but we can't say it on TV here. All right, so here's another one here. So here's another band beam right here and a support beam. Now, you see I got this gap in between here. And we prefer that these be joined together, my two boards or my beam boards, if at all possible. Why do I want them joined together is because that's actually now they're not working independently, but they're working independently together. What do I mean by that is they are working in unison. And so the both loads are being joined together. And yet they both do carry their individual loads, but they're part of a continuous load. This and a lot of times what carpenters will do is if we just even sandwich it together, but now if it's inside of a home, we'll put a half-inch spacer so we have our 3.5 inches. But in this case here, exterior, which is great to do. It even makes it even stronger. But in this case, this was fine. But then of course you want to secure your, we're going to get into more of codes and stuff in another video, another section of this, not of this program that we're doing today, but in other programs in the future. And we're going to talk about nothing but anchors, but we're not going to get there today. We'll get into that another day because we only got so much time to get so much for you folks today. All right, so here's another good one right here. Now, look here. Here's my beam right here, and my joist here. And these are actually rafters, but it was the same concept, rafters or joist. But see how they didn't get this my beam attached to my post correctly? It's literally sagging. Now, look right here. Look right there. That airwood right there, what do you think that's holding? How much weight do you think that airwood actually holds? It don't hold much. It sure ain't something I'd be wanting to get up on. So this is what happens if you don't get proper attachments and you don't get these things put together right. So when you're doing inspection and you want to see this, you see, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if that's something I want. That's got to be replaced. That's not safe. So it kind of makes you heads up. And you know, folks, I see it all the time. You know, you think that that's just some anomalies that I come up with here. Actually, I have so many of the same types of pictures that I just, when I was putting this program together, I thought the redundancy was just getting boring. But I was amazed that because I was reviewing it, how many times this happens. The Whizbang Construction, that's all I got to say about that. All right, so let's move on here. Let's look up here. Now, we kind of move past our board, our beams and our post. Now we're going to kind of move right into our floor joist systems. And our floor joist systems. And that's the part that's holding our decking, and that's the part that attaches to, you know, our beams and our bands and everything. And it kind of ties it all together. One of our videos we're going to be doing, which I've done on new construction inspection videos that we have out there, showing you how to square your deck, making sure you could check to see if it's square. But if you're already buying one that's already done, you're not going to do anything with it. So that's not pertinent to this so much. But floor joists. So let's move on to some crazy floor joist stuff here. And here you go. So here's one right here. Now this one, what I'm trying to show you here is, as you see, we got some deterioration happening here, some crackage happening here. It almost looks like there's two different types of wood put together here. If that's cracked, which this one is, that definitely is going to cause you a lot of grief. It's not structurally sound, even though you do have a compression stress load right here holding it, meaning that the load is coming straight down together on this. But it's definitely not structurally intact. It's not what we want to see. So you want to get that fixed. Of course, we see our moisture issues here, which we'll talk more about some more moisture issues as we go along. And this is really common that you see, especially on some of our areas that doesn't get a lot of sunlight, like our northern side of our buildings and such, that we have more of this. So let's move on down here, because now this is all treated wood. Everything you've been seeing is either cedar or treated. Most of all our floor joists are today are always treated material. They're weather treated, so as that they could take weather, snow, this. Now, Now, just remember, which we've done some of this engineered wood shows before, but what I want to talk to you about is something. Just because it's weather treated, read the fine print, there is no such thing as a real lifetime warranty because you can't, there's no such thing as anything lifetime, but they're just not forever. And all treated wood must be, which we'll talk maybe a little bit more about that on decking. All treated wood really does need to be resealed periodically. Yeah, I know that's something that a lot of folks didn't think you had to do, but they dry out and that causes trouble. Same with our floor joists, except our floor joists are at a place that it doesn't really get as much, it really stays a lot damper because of being under shade as such. So you want to make sure that, and that causes some other rusting issues, like right here. You see how this is? See, look at right here. Now this right here is, this is cedar wood right in here, but doesn't make any difference. Treated does this, can do the same thing. So, but look how it's deteriorated. See the white, you can already see this here, the moisture in here, how it's already deteriorated and rotted away. And so this is what you're looking for when you're looking at this. And like I said, this is Deck Awareness Month. This is what you're down here. You're taking a look at this, these things on your deck. See what you got to do to make sure your deck is safe. Decks in the Midwest. I should say this, and I should say this over and over again. Decks in the Midwest are built to 60 pounds per square foot. Homes are built to 40 pounds per square foot. I've been told that the reason we build our decks to 60 pounds per square foot versus what the inside of the home is because we will put more weight, more people, more of a live load meaning a load that's moving, on our deck than any one place in the house. So that's why we build them a little bit stronger than our house. And then we really, really want to make sure it's stout. Some of our decks are pretty high in the air. And they go, oh, it's a long ways down, folks. You don't want to see, you don't want to take that trip down. So let's move on down here to the next one, because we got a whole bunch of good ones here to look at for this here, because this is one of the weakest spots that we'll find on our house is in our floor joist area. See, all right. See, right now, what I got showing here is we got our moisture coming down through here. Now, this is common. This is my railing post, and we just notch it down through here, which is great. I love to see it this way, and you don't have to. Some code areas that you do, some areas of the country you do, some areas that you don't, but I like to see it because it gives it my railing a little more structural integrity. But this is also something that you're getting. See, my moisture issues right here. And but if this was sealed, you wouldn't have this. And then actually, this one's even showing some mold. It's outside mold, and there's always mold outside. But this is what you want to be looking for. And right now, you can be proactive on this one instead of reactive and help yourself and fix it. All right. And, oh, here you go. Now this is another cedar post. Or cedar joist, I'm sorry. And we're going to talk more about that on some of the others. But you see how this moisture and this, you know, is building up, and as water's running down through here. And see how my, look at my hangers. These are my joist hangers. See how they're already rusting away. I guarantee you, some of these are so bad you can literally take your finger and flick the metal off of it. I mean, and so if it's that bad, don't get on your deck. But is it this bad right here? Just, hey, you got to take them old hangers off. Now, you can tell by this hanger, this is an old hanger. And like I said, we don't really use cedar much anymore for any of our joist like we used to back in the old days. But you can see every one of these right on down the line are all doing that, all having troubles. And up a little bit closer up picture here, and you can see I've even missed, we got some nail holes that they didn't even nail every single one of our, and these nails are not that long, and but you can, we're going to talk a little bit, but see how my nail right here is rusted? Well, that's telling me right there that that's not the right nail for that particular. We have special anchor nails designed to be on the exterior going through your metal. You get, what happens is you get, if you're getting two different types of metal, you're going to get a galvanic type of damage to your metal. Also, it's got water gets to it. This is not, these here nails are not even designed for even being in exterior. And so if it's rusted this much on the outside, what do you think is not on the inside where you don't see it? Huh? That's what you want to be making sure. And now here is the newer post, or my newer anchors here, or that we have for our rafter hangers. And see how this one in here is. Now this looks pretty good. It's a different type of material. I mean, or not different type of material, but a little newer. It's made galvanized material. But you see, we use two different types of nails. You can see. See my nails? I got some rusted, some not. Well, you can see they just was reaching in their tool bag and grabbing whatever they had available and sticking it in a hole. And heck, you folks don't know any different when you're doing it. I mean, when you buy your house or whenever you hire somebody. And so you want to make sure that they get the right type of anchor. Now, I did want to mention something about this while I got you here on this. And this is on all treated wood. We changed the type of treatment of materials that we used to use. And so the new material, the old material we used had arsenic in it. So they got away from that. Then don't you just love this? So the government's here to help us again, right? So they come in here and they give us this new material. Probably the patent run off the other, probably what happened. But I don't know that. And that's not part of this. So sorry about that. But what happened was is the new material was so caustic, so absolute caustic, it literally was eating our bolts away and our nails, not from the rainwater, not from moisture, but from the materials that they used to treat the wood. And so we have to, so what they started recommending, now it pretty much has all been corrected out there in industry, but if you got an older one, you might have this, but they had to start moving to double dip galvanized material and then special type of nails and fasteners and such. So we've gotten past this, but in the 2000s, this was common. And but still, this is common with the nails all the time. I mean, really, come on, get the right stuff. But you don't want to, the guys don't want, WhizBang Construction is perfect for them. They don't care. As long as your check clears the bank, that's all they care about. Let's move on down to some more here because we got some good ones here coming up. All right, here you go. Here you go. Now, here's one I think is just about at this end of his life expectancy. What do you think? Look at that. Look at that. And I mean, literally, it's got the roof above this one. This actually is a deck, but then they put this roof on top of it, which is still part of the same decking material, and it literally has deteriorated from the out. And what happened was, is it's not really deteriorated, it didn't start here. It started on the outside, like right here. And you can kind of see that starting to swell on this one right here. And it's through our ingrains. And ingrains is the most important. If we're going to seal anything, you want your ingrains because that's the veins of the wood. And it just sucks that moisture right in through here. And look at there. Now, what do you think that's holding? I mean, look at that. It's hilarious if it wasn't so unsafe. Now, that's air wood. That's a new version of air wood. All right. Now, here you go. This is a good one here. This looked really good, except for one thing. See if you notice what that is. And see, my anchor, look, everything looks good here. Got good treated wood. I got my bolt pattern in a good spot right here. I got flashing from the house. This is my band board against the house. I got flashing. All that looks tremendous. But what do we don't have here? This is my siding. My siding just butts right up to that. And this is not sealed. We don't have any flashing. This should be flashed up underneath here, up, down, and on top of my siding. So any moisture that could possibly ever get in behind here flashes out. Any moisture that may be coming through this crack will not be going inside of your house and causing more damage. In this particular one, they had a lot of damage inside of their home and where it had been because it had been sitting. And what happened was is they replaced their deck, right? But the guy just stuck the deck board right back in it and he never realized that it was already damaged on the inside of the home. A little late to fix that one. And here's another, see right here now, what I'm showing you here, this is another one, but with a different type of siding where they did the same thing. But see, this is my seal plate. That's where all my floor joists are on my inside my house. And see how that they did the new one here, new band board, but see how it's deteriorated. Now, this for one, if it was closer to the ground, and even if it's not, it's still great termite food. But this one here is literally compressing because it cannot hold the weight any longer. It's just totally weather rotted. And it also has damage inside the house because of not flashing. So yes, flash above the band board, which is part of the floor joist system, and then underneath it, if it's applicable and you got siding running underneath it, or there's a chance that you might get moisture inside your home. We don't need more moisture inside the home. Actually, we don't need any in there that's unwanted like this. All right, so what I want to show you here, now this is a good one right here. And this actually is a bay. Now, you can't see it, but this is a bay roof going, or a bay room right up above this. And so what they did is they put their plywood, and that's the subfloor, right? And they run this all through here. They got their doubler here. It looks really good. But now that plywood needs to be painted or sealed or something, because plywood is not designed to be set outside. Even though I have a living condition on the top of it, it needs to be sealed underneath. You do not want any kind of moisture issues or problems coming up into it like that. So that's, be looking for that. It looked pretty good except for that little bit right there. Okay, here you go, right here. I've done some videos on this band boards, and I am totally, absolutely amazed at the whiz bang carpenters out there. You know what? I'm going to take it back. Some of you guys out there ain't even whiz bang contractors. You guys are even less than that. I said, I'm an engineer. But even if I wasn't an engineer, there's codes and there's reason for codes. That what happens is, this is a bay right here, right? So what this is supposed to be is a doubler coming out here from the house out. And then this from here across here is supposed to be a header. Think of a header. It's all right to nail it to the bay, but the bays are not to be attached to for holding weight. Remember when I went back and I said 40 pounds per square foot for your home, 60 pounds per square foot for your decks. Well, you're not going to get going to carry 60 pounds of your weight off of a 40 pound square foot load off the house. This is supposed to be a doubler. This is supposed to be a doubler. Let's just consider this a header. It happens all of the time. And for all of you that disagree with me, I highly encourage you to go to the comment section below and let's have at it, because I got a lot of engineers that also follow our stuff. They'll let you have it too. But anyway, it's a lot of fun, and I do encourage remarks. We have a lot of fun with them. So, Dave, I might tease you now, but don't worry about it. Just jump in there and have fun. So let's see what else we got here. What else we got here? All right. Aha. So remember we was talking about water and moisture. See, these are my bolts. These bolts are holding my band board, which all my floor joists come from there on out. This attaches to the house. See what's happening is these are rusted. Now, if you see that much rust on your bolts right here that you see on the outside, how much do you think it's rusted on the inside, and how much structural integrity do you think you have? Folks, if that's rusted, even this rusted, it didn't replace the bolts. Honestly, your family, your safety depends upon it. So, yes, that's something to look at, and we see it all the time. Here's another one right here, a rusted bolt right here, just totally rusted out. You can see where we missed some nail holes in here. You see the bottom here of my hanger. It's already starting to deteriorate, and rusting. So these are things, these are problem areas that you too want to make sure is taken care of. Just kind of pay attention and make sure they're taken care of. See what you got down here for the next one here. Aha, okay. So it's just showing more. Now this particular hanger is a 2x4 hanger on a 2x8 floor joist. They sell 2x8 hangers for 2x8s. They sell 2x10s for 2x10s. They don't sell 2x8s to hang on 2x4 hangers. 2x4 hangers are designed for 2x4s. I don't know how it could get more simpler than that, but we see it there again, see it all the time. And these whiz-bang contractors, they do, oh, that's fine, that'll hold it, I'll toenail it. We'll talk about that on some more. That's hilarious. All right, so that pretty much has us for our floor joist, and we're going to move on to the next section here, decking. So let's jump in here on decking. And the decking is our decking boards that are on top. They, along with my handrail, gets a tremendous amount of exposure. They usually what shows the rot first. This is usually some of our biggest problems of our deck. It's honestly the easiest also to fix. So it's bad, yes, but not like some of the structural part of it. Not that it's not structural, because it is. But this is some of the things I want you to take a look at here. And now, this is one in painted decks. Like I said earlier, remember we talked about this before. Anytime you see somebody throwing paint on their deck, it's designed for decks, but they're trying to probably hide some. Well, what we got, so as soon as I saw this, I started really drilling in deeper for it. But you see we got some crackage going here, but these are knot holes. And cedar, as beautiful as it is, some awesome, I just love the beauty. I love to smell it. It's cedar closets and everything. It's just so, and they're bug repellent, not 100%. I mean, they'll eat it, but bugs don't go there so fast on it like they would some others. But it's also a place that you're going to have water penetration, and it's going to be a place of weakness. It's not just a weakness that it's going to for the cracking to occur, but it's also a weakness for the moisture to get into. Here's another one of my painted ones. And, you can see where this is. This one here is starting to show where the holes and stuff are, where the nails are going through. And, you see, like I say, you start seeing a painted material like this. And this type of deck painting that they're using, it actually has a texture to it. It's not a smooth coat. And they love the texture because it helps fill in any of the voids that's causing problems. All right, so hooky here. Remember we was talking about the treated wood. Now, here's old treated wood here that was not sealed. And now a few things are happening here. I did get the right nails here, for instance. That's good, right? I mean, that's good because they're not rusted up nails. But your material is always going to have a certain amount of shrinkage. The old wise tale is that I used to use a carpenter, we used to do it too, use a carpenter pencil between each of our decking boards. The reason that we did and what we was always told back in the old days, that let the water and moisture and such go through. We wasn't thinking about how much our wood's naturally going to shrink. So when it shrinks, that then you got an extra amount of space between it. So now you probably, instead of getting 3/8 of an inch, you could have up to a half inch, 3/4 of an inch. Now I got a safety issue. You got out there, you can stub your toes. You can also get out there. If you got high heels on, you could trip in there. I don't think high heels and decks a place to be, but hey, parties and such, people do it all the time. And that's a trip hazard. Break your neck, you fall in one of that. What I like to do, now this is just me, but I like to take our deck boards when I put a deck together and I put them tight together and make them as tight as possible. It speeds my job up a little bit too, because I can get done a little quicker. But what I love about it is that when it does shrink, it never shrinks to the point of causing me any kind of safety issues in the future. Because it will shrink and it will cause trouble if you have too much of a gap. But these nails, we don't use a lot of nails as much as we used to. We still use a lot of screws. I know people are going to say, we use screws, man, because screws, they don't back out. No, bull crap. They back out. I see it all the time. My wood's drying, for one. That's giving me some clearance. Also, the flexing of it backs them screws out. So, yes, watch this. Make sure their nails are screws. All you got to do is just take your hammer and drive them back home. But I'm going to tell you what. Wow, that cuts your feet up when you're walking across there barefooted. It is not any fun. Not to mention, if you got children, that could really be bad. Let's talk about decks on the ground. Now, and this is a good one right here. This is a deck that was built on ground. We see a lot of decks on the ground. And people do it. Most of the time, this is usually done by a handyman or do-it-yourselfers. But this material, remember we was talking about our treated material earlier? And our treated material is not designed to be ground contact because it will rot your treated material away. And, of course, naturally, my joists and everything are laying right there in the dirt, right there in the mud. What causes deterioration is not just moisture, but the oxygen. So you're almost better off if the wood stayed underneath the water and are totally encased and not getting oxygen than half above, half out. But look how this thing is just totally just deteriorated. It's no longer even safe. Luckily, they don't have far to fall, you know? If that's something, I don't know if that's lucky or not. You get your, if that breaks through and you trip and break your ankle or knee on that. But ground contact. What I recommend, and I know some of you carpenters out there are not going to like it, but it's true. I don't care if you like it or not. It's true. Just pour a concrete patio. If it's this close to the ground, pour a concrete patio. Concrete is still cheaper than wood. And you can. And the great thing I love about it, it really doesn't need a whole lot of maintenance. It's easy to take care of. It lasts for a lot longer. And personally, if you're like me, I don't really want to spend my weekend sealing all this stuff up. I'd rather spend my weekend fishing, hunting, running around, camping, backpacking, anything but working around doing honeydew lists, So just think about that. Now, I understand if you're a handyman and you want to do it. If that's the case, we'll talk about that more in other programs because there are ways of doing that. Now, let's look at this. Here we go. Here's another one on the ground. Now, this one is not as old and it's not as bad, but literally, look how bad it is. Look how much is in the dirt right here. And now, you can't really see that, but the floor joists are pretty much gone. And you can't inspect it. So if you can't see it and it's on the ground, you could pretty much expect that you probably got some moisture issues, you got some deterioration issues that you really want to attend to. Make sure you take care of that. Now, see how he's got his drain pipe here from his gutter. That's awesome. And in this case here, I like what he's doing. You can't see the total picture, but he's draining that water away from his deck. Instead of running that downspout straight down here and dumping that water right there and going underneath there, causing more moisture issues, at least he's done this, and that's nice, and that's a good idea. So now here we got some moisture. This is some areas that we're going to talk about a little bit about where some moisture issues occur. And you see, this is my decking boards. And when I get these boards right here where snow or ice or water can get in here, it doesn't have a chance to actually dry. And the worst part is you can't get any sealant or anything. So we talked about this on our post. You like to have a little bit of airspace. So we should have had a little bit of airspace in through here. From my decking to my rail. Why some people, they are afraid about having some of that is because they think, well, my child or somebody may get stuck in it. We have codes to that, and it's 4 inches, no more than 4 inches clearance. And I pretty much believe that's the code across the United States for that. The reason the 4 inches, we'll talk again about that on handrails. The reason we want to have the 4 inches is because we don't want the 6 or more inches because you don't want your children to be able to stick their heads in through it. I know. When I was a kid, my daddy probably would have said, hey, stick your head underneath there. You only do it once. I don't know. We'll just let that one go. You can't fix stupid. But anyway, that's that. Let's move on here. Let's move to the next one here. And look here, talk about the end grains. Remember we talked about end grains on our floor joist. This is a perf right in through here. See, there's our veins of our, literally, and it just sucks our moisture right on through here. And you can see where we're starting to get some of our sealants gone. And this is what happens. And I literally picked that piece up. Look at, there's my finger. I literally just picked that right up. Well, I don't think that's real safe. I don't think I'd be wanting to be very high up in the air with a deck like that. But that's what you're looking for. Check your end caps. Let's go to this next one here. Now, here's a perfect example of somebody's done some patchwork, somebody's tried to paint it. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on here. But you can see right here, they got this. They didn't get this to where they butted the two pieces of decking together. They didn't get it tight to begin with. And what has happened is the wood has shrunk, you know, naturally, through natural. But it started popping. Look here, how many nails we got in there? 4 or 5 nails, screws into this, trying to hold this down to the floor joist. And then they still got that debris and that nastiness in between it. Well, that just deteriorated. Literally, remember the ingrains we just talked about? That moisture's getting down in there and sucking right down in through here. And then we got our moisture issues right here. So when you see this, if you can see this on the outside, just think it's probably 10 times worse on the inside that you don't see. That's something you're looking for. Make sure you're tight. See right what we did right here. They even got a little shim in here. I really don't know what all they was trying to do. It just was a patch job. But it got them by long enough to try to sell it, I guess. All righty. Well, that pretty much takes care of everything that we're going to talk a little bit about on our decking boards. So let's move over to something that really, besides decking boards, handrails. Let's talk about handrails. Handrails. Absolutely very imperative that our handrails are safe, because that's that section that goes around that keeps us from falling over. Oak codes used to be 36 inches. Some of the parts of the country are still holding 36 inches above the top of the decking boards. New codes are 42 inches. Some municipalities maybe even higher than that. And the reason some people love the 36 inches is because they like to sit in a chair and look over top of their handrail. Other people, they like to sit in their chair and not have the world see them. They like to be able to sit out there and read a book without the neighbors actually, you know, gawking at them. I like the tall handrails because of the children are playing and wrestling around, and you know how kids are. Even us big kids, even us old kids, we actually, you know, you don't want to bounce off this thing and go over the top. Believe me, that's happened. Sadly, happened more than we care for. Now, look here. Now, this is my top cap here of my handrail, and this is my post. Now, we got this, what we call this toenail. See how that's going in right here? Then you see it right through here, and that's called a toenail. And now what's happened here is that this has kind of shrunk and moved up, and now that's all this is being supported from going in and out or is just the nails. And that's a 16-penny nail, and that 16-penny nail, a little over 3 inches, is literally not holding much anymore. So you don't have much it's not secured safely. But now some people, I'll tell you a real quick story. We was told years ago, somebody said the toenails don't hold anything. Now, I got an old buddy I'm going to show him this here video because he remembers this. And is he a big old boy? He was probably one of the strongest men I ever knew. Big old boy. And the customer was saying how them toenails don't hold any weight. This boy jumped on top of that handrail right there. We were a lot younger back in them days, but he walked on it. Now that old board was just a sagging. Oh, it was a groaning, but them toenails held. So they do. They hold, and they're good to have. So this, no, that's not bad to have. But wow, that's funny. Oh, and I was wrong. That is not a toenail there. Actually, that's part of the toenail. It's going in from the side. That's just another nail. So I said something wrong there. I just wanted to make it clear before I get my comments. And once again, if you guys have any comments about how you do it in your area, as long as it's a code issue or something, you got something that codes to specify, please jump in there and say something about it, you know, put your comments in, share with others your knowledge of what it is that you're experiencing. All right, so here we go. Now, here's a perfect example of what toenails do. This is the problem with toenails. Because it's in this ingrain, it has a tendency to split right in through here, especially when it starts to shrink. And see how this is already cracked all the way down. And because it lifted that crack right here, it's creating another crack right here. And that's, you know, naturally, you know, that's not going to be holding much, and it's deteriorating. This one has not reached a point of being unsafe, but it's getting there quickly. So that's a that is probably one of the problems that we have with toenailing. Now back to handrails. Let's talk about the handrails now. See, this one here is not 4 inches apart. They did this not to code. You can have it less than four, but you can't have this much because they don't want your little boy or your little girl, child, or your pet coming out here and jumping off and falling through. Though, you know, if you're not a code issue and, you're low enough to the ground, you can definitely have that. It's up to a certain height that you got to have that handrail, because some of these decks don't even, like our decks closer to the ground don't even need a handrail. But in this case, it's high enough that they're supposed to have one and have it correct. But they're just trying to make it look a little bit different, a little bit nice. You can't blame them there, except this. This is what happens with that type of design, you know. And what happens is see how that's sitting right here? And then, of course, this piece is totally gone, you know. It's being supported by Airwood. Guaranteed by Mr. Whizbang Contractor, and he definitely will take care. But see, moisture sitting right here. Your snow, water, everything sits right here, just totally deteriorated and rotted away. Yes, treated wood will rot, and there it is right there. Now, in this particular case, it wasn't even treated wood. It was just regular pine, but all wood will rot, and right there, that is, well, needless to say, that's a safety issue. So that you want to make sure you take care of that. Make sure that's safe. Ah, here you go. Now, I love the metal down here. Them are really pretty, and we're seeing a lot more of that. Balusters, pickets, and they're metal, and they're really sharp, maintenance-free, and a lot of these are. But see my top cap here. And then, you know, this one here is just, this is not bad shape. It just needs to be resealed, and so be taken care of. But, you know, that's what you're looking for. Don't let it get any worse than this, because it's just going to cause this if you let it get worse than that. And look at that. Perfect example of everything that could possibly go wrong here. My nails are jumping up here. They're raised up here. You can just imagine scooting your hand down across over that. Your cracking of the wood. It's separated. It's deflected right here. These two are not even joined together anymore. It just, honestly, and then like you see it's already coming apart here on the edge. It just totally rotted away. And that's not going to be repairable. That has to be replaced. So, that's what happens. Make sure you treat them. Make sure, I know we think you treated wood, you don't have to, but you do. Here's a perfect example of another one right here. And see them top caps right here, because they are like right what they are. And they're sitting and all that, just like your deck boards, all that moisture sitting right on top of here. Your snow, a lot of times you put plants and such. Without it being sealed, you're going to have that happening. And see how that's all deteriorated, cracked? Well, it's just no longer. My big old friend that stood on that other one for the toenails, I don't think he'd be wanting to wander up on that one. I can't wait till he sees this show. He's going to love it, because he knows who I'm talking about. I didn't get permission to use his name, so I'm not going to say any more than his name is Jeff, and we're not going to say the rest, but we all know Jeff, a good friend of mine. He had worked with me for years. So here's another one right here. See right here, and then right where the patootins on my pickets are kind of an upside-down shot. But see where this is an area of concern where all my wood is adjoining. And this is areas that you want to make sure that, you know, is weakness. And when you're doing your deck inspection, that you're looking for that right there. Because that is soft spots that you want to make sure is safe. Especially for your pickets right here. Now, here we go. I just love this. We're doing the finger test. Now, see, this guy here is real smart. He put this coating on here so the inspector wouldn't be able to catch it. And nobody would know. But see how deteriorated, kind of started giving it away. So I started sticking my finger in there to see. Folks, I could stick my finger all. I only stuck it in there partially. I could have literally put my finger all the way through the very other end of it. That's just how rotted, deteriorated it is. So what they're doing is they're putting a little bit of covering over it to try to hide it. I know I've said that several times throughout this. You do not hide it. Replace it. Because if you have anybody that knows what they're looking at, they're going to be even drilling deeper. But I do encourage you to seal it. But at this point, a little bit late. So let's talk about another type of handrail here. We see a lot of metal handrail. We see it on porches, you know, we see it on some decking material, guardrails, all kinds of stuff. And in this particular case, so this is a weak spot right here that you see it, right here. And we used to actually put our post into our concrete and or try to drill down deep enough to put it in there and put some adhesive. But what happens is that creates a weak spot, and it creates a place that water and deterioration can get into it. Well, maybe we get a good picture of another one here. See right here? This is what causes then what happens. Of course, concrete, and this is a concrete deck, porch, it literally will wick up through it. Concrete, once again, is porous. Concrete, whether it be wood or metal, will definitely have a chance of having moisture. So we recommend when you do repair it, you put L brackets on it, secure it like that. That'll hold it. That'll, you know, make sure it's plenty stout and it won't have as much contact. Or, you know, if it does start to rust, you still got something there, some solid substance to hold on to it with. And this is something to be looking for, because that's a little bit more of a challenge to fix than it be wood. Here's another soft spot right here. See it all the time. See how my handrail goes? And, of course, the good shadowing showing it right there. But it just literally has come out of the wall. Now my handrail right here is loose back and forth. Well, if you had to bounce across it, say if you was falling and you grab that handrail real quick, bang, you're going down. There's no stopping you. So, and now it just needs a bolt. That's not a big deal. But it's a big deal if you fall. It's even a bigger deal if you don't fix it. If you're a landlord or somebody like this, and if you don't fix it, and that your tenants fall, or somebody falls through it and gets hurt, that's what I get hired for. I do construction. I do this type of trip and fall kind of inspections all the time. And this is neglect. This is not, God didn't do this. This is your neglect. So, you know, you're the one going to get sued. So I also want to talk a little bit about this right here, too, before we go, and that is how much of a pitch slope that we have from our house out of our deck. So there is no code that I ever found that tells me exactly how much. And if there is a code, we've never looked. But the standard rule of thumb is if I could put an egg on it and if it rolls off, too much. If I put my drink on it and it spills off one side or the other of it because it's such a pitch of it, that's no good. Normally what we like, but we do want to make sure that it slopes away from the house. And a standard rule of thumb is what we've always used is approximately an eighth of an inch, or, you know, they say an eighth of an inch per 8 foot, or it's a half inch per eight foot. I'd like to see about a quarter inch, something like that. An eighth of an inch is pretty flat. A quarter inch is a lot better. It's not enough that you can notice it, but enough that you will get, when you get your natural snow melting or water draining, it'll drain away from the house. That's really what you're looking for. Just get that water away from the house. This one here just had a slight bit of slope. See how my bubble is? I call that good. That looked really good. So let's move on to the last section here of our show here today, and that's stairs. Stairs. The most expensive part of your entire deck is in your stairs. It's also the part that more people get hurt on than any other part of your deck. So it's very important that make sure that you've got good structural integrity of your stairs. And it costs, like I said, costs you the most to fix. So what we got here now, you can see right here my stringers are coming up here. You see how it's all coming together, and you see I got moisture issues right in here. It's starting to rot away, you know, and losing some structural integrity. That's something you definitely are looking for because that, you know, you don't want that to be breaking down on you. Here we got here my stringer. Okay, so this is what's called a stringer right here, and these are your treads. And now most codes always say that my stringers are supposed to land on a solid surface, like concrete. Okay, but a paver is really not enough to hold this, because what happens is my paver it's usually not 4 inches thick, and what happens is the more you walk on it, soft ground, common sense says my paver then will continue to drop into the mud until it actually disappears, but My stringer then also is sloping down and dragging back down. And as the more it drops, the more it drops down, the more it's pulling away from the deck itself, which is also making it very unsafe. So we want, and then also we like to also see, and a lot of municipalities, a lot of codes call for a concrete pad or some sort of decking. Don't even have to be concrete pad. Could be a deck type material set right up there. So when you step off here, you don't step right into the mud. You step onto something solid, which is a great idea to do. It could be gravel or anything. It depends on the codes, like I said, if you're in a municipality. But what I really wanted to show is a paver is not enough structural integrity. And what happens is what if you don't take care of it, and what will happen when it sags and pulls away from the house. Now, here we go here. Now, you're saying, what is that crazy nail doing here? Well, that crazy nail is actually doing something good. And but what we have is this, our straps right here. So codes tell us on our stringers, remember we talked about our stringers, they're supposed to be held, our stringers are to be held by metal straps. And a lot of this, and it's a great idea, because if it starts to pull away from the house like we talked about, you got a little bit more structural integrity. If it catches a fire, the straps are to help it stay together long enough that you can get down before the wood disappears. It's not losing its integrity. It gives you that few extra moments for escape. All stairways are supposed to have these metal straps, regardless if it's inside or outside of the home. Remember that. And a lot of times we just use the bands off the material from our lumber that's dropped. And we got a good galvanized nail. But I wanted to share with you the strapping for that. So you want to make sure yours is strapped. Hey, even if yours is not strapped now, you can still come back and do it retrofit. It's real worth your time. Now, here we go. Here's another handrail. Look at this. So, you know, we did a little bit of repair work. That's quite obvious. And Whizbang Construction, he was helping us out here. And he's saying, oh, looky there. That's just fine. Well, look at that gap in there. Well, that little nail right there is really not very much to hold us on to it. You know, I know it's going up the stairs. You're probably not going to die if you run into it. But wow, don't that look like crap? You know, so gee, there's ways of fixing that. And it's called doing it right the first time. You know, somebody forgot that motto on this one. So you want to make sure that that's all tight, secured. And let's talk about this one right here. Oh, okay. And this is the last of our stair slides. But I wanted to jump in here on concrete. We see this, a lot of concrete steps going up on our porches and our decks and such. And see how it's deteriorating right here. And this is a trip hazard. And if you're not going to, and when you fix this, this is the problem. Concrete does not adhere to concrete. So you can patch it. So if you see two different colors, somebody patched it, think, just know that's going to pop on you. When it pops, it's going to come off and it's going to create a problem. You know, that, of course, these stairs are pretty old, but you see that you're cracking. See, look here, look at my bottom tread here. See how, because of this crack right here, and I got moisture, it literally is deteriorated and sagging. And now I have a trip hazard because I have unequal heights. This is not the same height as from here to here, to here, to here. And of course, you don't see that from here to here, but these are all different tread heights. And so that makes, if they're not equal, your body just automatically is going to trip because you're not looking down, you're just walking up. And with that being like this, and what's even worse about this is when it gets slick, poop, there goes your feet right up underneath you. So these are things that you want to make sure that you take care of. I hope this has been helpful. Hey, folks, you ever have any questions, give us a call, Galloway Building Services. We'd love to help you. And, hey, if you like our videos, hit like and subscribe. Share with your friends. The more we can share with other people, the more that, you can help. For one, it shows that you know what you're doing, and it helps everybody out there learn more about how to be safe and how not to get ripped off. Well, thanks, folks. Appreciate you watching our videos, and my blessings to y'all.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services, GallowayBuildingServices.com.